Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Bless you, Emma. There's a lot in that. So God bless. Take a breath. well done. And thank you so much for just inspiring us. When Emma does announcements, it's not just announcements. There's an inspiration to actually get behind Pulse and get behind all these things. So God bless you. Thank you so much for everyone who's asked about my wrist. I got lots of concern on the way in. And so just to say, I was just chatting to Pastor Sean, tell him all the Liverpool signings, and he wasn't happy as an Arsenal fan. And so he sort of, it didn't. No, there's not actually a cool story to it. It's just, I was lifting something heavy into the van and it flipped and sort of crushed my finger. I don't have a cool story. But also what I found out this morning was that even if there was nothing wrong with my wrist, if you just wear a bandage, the amount of compassion you get, and honestly, the amount of like people coming up, like, can I open the door for you? Can I carry your coffee? So if you're going into a tricky situation in work this week, just put a bandage on. Like, you'll get so much compassion from your boss or from those that are tricky. They won't be argumentative with you. They'll just be so concerned about you. No, don't do that. That's lying. And we don't condone that in church. So guys, we are in a series called Ascending In. And it's been so blessed. And it's so great to be here today. And just to say a massive welcome to everyone who's come. I know Emma done a welcome start, but just if you've come during the worship, we're so grateful that you are in church this morning. And we're so grateful that we get to share worship together and share prayer together and share God's word together. And a little disclaimer, this morning's sermon is a little bit tricky. So just to put that out there, don't shoot the messenger. It is a bit tricky, but I think they're all a bit tricky, actually. Because I think when we look at this, ascending in, I think we all agree that we should ascend in generosity. Do you mean that's something that, like, as Christians, we should ascend in generosity? And where it becomes a little bit tricky is when it becomes personal. It's like, oh, you mean me? You want me to ascend in generosity? You want me to be the one to go the extra mile? You want me to sponsor that youth? I thought you were talking to everyone else, but you want me to reach into my pocket and be generous. That's a different story. And that's where it can be good. And I think they're all stuff that we agree in the general sense. But when it becomes personal, that's when. But here's what I love. Do you mind, guys? Make the word of God personal. Make it personal to you. Make it that this is what the word of God is saying. And so even for this morning, I want you to make this message personal. We're going to be speaking on ascending in forgiveness. I believe that there's no other F word that conjures up the fiercest of emotions than forgiveness. I know some of you, this side is probably more unholy than this side because you're all laughing when I mentioned the word F word. These didn't. They're all holy. They don't understand it. But sometimes we hear the F word and it's like, I can't believe they use that word. But when we use the word forgiveness, and here's how it can stir up emotions. Because as I'm talking about forgiveness and us ascending in forgiveness, some of the emotions or some of the thoughts that you can have is like, who do you think you are up there telling me I should forgive? How dare you stand behind the pulpit pontificating about forgiveness? You've no idea what that person has said to me. You've no idea how he's hurt me. You've no idea how they've dragged my name through the mud. You've no idea the way I've been treated in work or the way I've been treated in school. You've no idea. So and that's why it can stir up all of these emotions and all of this hurt that's there. But yeah, I believe God wants to bring freedom into all of our lives. And I really believe that the Spirit of God is in this room. I love that we gather together every Sunday. And I'm blown away every time I'm here that the Spirit of God moves. Every single time that there's a gathering in this room, God's Spirit is moving and God's Spirit is doing that which only God's Spirit can do. And that is our prayer today, that God's Spirit, His kingdom will come and His will be done in all of our lives. There's three things I would love us to sort of understand as I talk this morning. The first one is that we would understand and receive the forgiveness of God. That we would really understand that God has forgiven us. That you would understand that God has forgiven you. As we've sung it, once and for all, forgiven. Once and for all, it is finished. What a powerful statement. I've been held. I'm held in the grip of grace. That we would understand this. That we'd also understand and we would have a desire to ascend in forgiving others. Not only would we receive God's forgiveness and understand it, but that we would have this desire then to extend that towards others who've hurt us, who have offended us. And the third thing as well, which is tricky, and I think you could do a whole sermon on this by itself, but that we would understand and be able to ascend in forgiving ourselves. Because sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. Because you know the things you've done. You know when you've done wrong. You know when you've gone to that place when you shouldn't have gone to that place. You know you've done that thing when you shouldn't have done that. You know you've broken that trust when you shouldn't have broken that trust. And even though you know that God has forgiven you, sometimes we're so quick to remind ourselves of all of the stuff that we've done. And here's what the Word of God says. I remember hearing a sermon a few years ago called The Forgetful God. He's the God, he says, I remember your sins no more. He's the one who actually chooses to forget what we've done as we come to him and bring our lives to the cross of Jesus and accept his salvation. The Bible says that God forgets. I remember your sins no more. So when we're remembering them, God is going, I don't know what you're talking about. Because that's covered by the blood of Jesus. That's gone. That's dealt with. I don't remember that. But sometimes it's hard for us to not remember it. And what I'd love for us is to be able to really be able to forgive ourselves and to walk. And the reason why forgiveness is so important, and I'm going to say this is the ending of the sermon, is because God wants you to walk in freedom. It's as simple as that, is that God wants every single one of us in this place to walk in a freedom that only he can bring into our lives, that only he can work in us. Here's the most famous prayer of all, Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, and it's the Our Father. And I love this prayer because this is the only time in the scriptures actually that the disciples ask Jesus to teach them something. Like all of the other time, Jesus is going and he's constantly teaching them. He's the rabbi. And it's fascinating that they never ask him, Lord, teach us how to work miracles. Lord, teach us how to heal the sick. Lord, teach us how to walk on water. The reason I believe Jesus or the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray, was because they saw something different the way Jesus related to God than anyone else has related to God. And actually, they probably knew that it was from that relationship came the miracles, came the walking on water, came the authority in preaching and the authority in teaching. And so they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And this is what Jesus said to them. This is how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. There's no one like you, God. There's no one else that has the place in my life that you have. There's no one else. You are number one. You are holy. You are separate from everyone else in my life. Your kingdom come, Lord. Not my kingdom, not my will, but your will be done. On earth, in my life, in my family, in this church, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. God, you have something fresh for us today. I'm so blessed by last Sunday, but God has something fresh for us this Sunday. God has a word for you today. Every day, God has something new. It's a fresh, don't live on old testimonies or old stories. And they're great to remember the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. But God has a new testimony and a new story and a new blessing. Lord, give me today the daily bread. And this is the verse that we're going to follow. And forgive us. Lord, forgive me of all of my trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lord, lead me not into temptation. How I pray this one is, Lord, you know the things I'm tempted by. You know the areas that I struggle with. You know the pitfalls. Lord, lead me not into them areas that I'm weak in, but deliver me from the evil one. And I'm so grateful how many times God has delivered me from evil. I believe when I get to heaven, he'll probably show me so much more of how he's delivered me because I've been praying this. There's a beautiful story in Matthew 18 and Jesus tells this parable, this story of the unforgiving servant. But before the story and why sort of Jesus, it sparks the story from Jesus is because it comes from a question that Peter asks. Peter asks Jesus this question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And he says this up to seven times. And why Peter said seven times, you see, Peter thought he was being clever. In Jewish custom, Jewish law, if someone sinned against you, someone offended you, again, as a Jewish person, you would forgive them. And if they sinned against you a second time, again, the Jewish custom would be you forgive them. And if they sin against you and do the same thing a third time, then the Jewish custom would be you forgive them. If they do it a fourth time, because it was only three times that was written that you said, if they do it a fourth time, well, then the gloves are off. We're going into eye for an eye territory here. An eye for an eye. No, you have, the grace is gone. I'm done with you. You have broken trust too many times. And so Peter's asking Jesus, because he knows there's something different about Jesus, the way he teaches. And he says, Jesus, how much should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Seven times, because seven's a good holy number. So seven times. And Jesus says, Peter, you're to forgive them 70 times seven. And in other words, and what they would have understood that is like, you're to just keep on forgiving them. You're to, because if you have to forgive someone 70 times seven, I can't even do the math for that. I need to get my calculator out. What is 70 times seven? And I'd be like, and so if you have to forgive someone 70 times seven, you're going to end up forgetting how many times I've forgiven them. So what Jesus is saying, guys, I want you to get this. If you want to be my followers, if you really want to be a follower of me and follow my ways and live for me, then you need to understand forgiveness. And you need to forgive and keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And don't stop forgiving. Always offer forgiveness. And so this is what he said. And here's the reality as well. I believe I need to receive forgiveness. And I believe I need to extend forgiveness. Because I know I have hurt people. I know I have done wrong. I know the brokenness of my life and the humanity that constantly causes me to trip up. And so I know I need to receive God's forgiveness on a daily basis. And I know I also need to offer forgiveness and to offer an apology and say, to offer forgiveness for someone who's hurt me or someone who's offended me. Sometimes it can be little things. And I need to live in that on all the time of forgiving others. But some of the things that we're going to talk about today, it can be a bit deeper than just the everyday thing. But the fact that we all know that we need to receive forgiveness and we need to offer forgiveness tells me that this message is for every single person in this room. And so I would love for you, I said at the beginning, to make this personal. This message is for me. Automatically, when we hear messages, maybe this is just me. Automatically in my head, I'm going, oh, this would be a great message for such and such. I hope they're here because they need to hear this message. But can I just submit to you this morning that this message is for you? So wives, stop elbowing your husbands. Husbands, stop ignoring your wives. This isn't a message where you turn to your neighbor. This is a message where you go, Lord, is there an offense in my heart that I need to offer forgiveness? Or Lord, is there sin in my life that I need to repent and receive forgiveness from you? The great thing about forgiveness is it's a choice. It's not about how you feel. Because most of the time, I don't feel like giving forgiveness. Most of the time when someone offends me or someone hurts me, the first reaction is defensive mode or attack mode. That's it's either like I'm ready to fight you or I'm running away because I'm just too broken, too hurt. So it's that fight or flight. And so in that moment, I actually don't feel like offering forgiveness. But what I love about what the Bible says, it's not about how I feel. And I have a choice to offer forgiveness. It's something that we can physically do without the feelings. The feelings will follow. Before I get into what forgiveness is, here's what forgiveness isn't. Because I believe sometimes forgiveness is misunderstood, and that's why it can become a tricky subject, and that's why it can become like, why are you saying I should forgive that person? Do you know what they've done? Again, the anger, the emotions and all that, because it's misunderstood what I'm trying to say. So here's what I'm not saying. Forgiveness is not becoming someone's doormat. If you forgive someone, it does not mean that you consistently put yourself back in the place to be hurt over and over and over again. So that's not what Jesus is saying about forgiving your brother or sister 70 times seven. He's not saying put yourself back in that position 70 times seven for you to be abused or hurt or mistreated. That's not what the scripture says. That's maybe what an offender would say to you or try to put on you. So it's not about putting yourself as a doormat. You are a child of God, a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, paid for and bought with the blood of Jesus. So therefore, you have intrinsic value, created in the image of God. And so we're not created to be anyone's doormat. And sometimes people want to treat you that because you're a Christian. Well, you should be. No, we're not doormats, but we can still offer forgiveness. And so it's not being a doormat. Forgiveness does not mean that you will instantly trust another person. So again, sometimes that can be misunderstood. It's like, well, I thought you forgave me. I have forgiven you. But that doesn't mean I can trust you. Like, you've broken that trust. So forgiveness is a great foundation for trust to be built up again. But trust takes time, doesn't it? For me, it does. It takes me time to trust someone, to get to know someone, their character, their behavior, all of that. And then I become more and more open with them and I trust them. I'm not going to trust someone I just meet off on the street, because God gives us wisdom. And so forgiveness, again, is a great foundation for trust to be built. But it doesn't mean that you actually have to trust the person straight away. Forgiveness is not the absence of anger. This is the big one for Christians. A lot of Christians feel, well, like, I just can't be angry. And they feel, and then what the enemy does, he puts shame and guilt on feeling angry. But if someone's hurt you, then there's an anger. The Bible says, do not sin in your anger. It doesn't say don't get angry, because God knows how we're made. He knows that if someone comes and hurts me, or if someone, and here's actually one of the hardest things to forgive is secondhand offense. So I'm actually very easy now, because I've gone through a lot of life, to be able to forgive. But if someone hurts Judith, oh my goodness, you'll see a different side of Pastor Des. You'll see an angry Des and a defensive Des and an offensive Des. And over time, I may forgive you. I hope that I will, because God wants, doesn't want me to carry around that hurt. But I will be angry. And I think that's sometimes as Christians feel like we shouldn't be angry. And then the enemy gets in with shame and guilt. Can I just say this to you? This is not part of my sermon. This may be for someone here. If you're hearing a tone of shame or fear, that's the language of the enemy. You know straight away that's not God speaking. If it's bringing you down and causing you to withdraw from community of church or community of brothers and sisters and causing you to feel shame, that is the enemy, true and true. God is the one who brings us to life and back into community and back into all that we were created to be. That's not part of my notes. I feel that's for someone here. Forgiveness does not mean restoration. Again, sometimes if someone hurts you, offends you, and you forgive them, well then, should that relationship not be restored? No. Again, forgiveness is a great foundation for restoration to happen, but restoration will not happen if there's no forgiveness. Because you can try to have restoration, but if you ignore the elephant in the room, or you ignore the hurt, or you ignore the thing, then restoration is built on a very shaky foundation and eventually will crumble, because the foundation of forgiveness isn't there. And so you have to forgive first, and then maybe restoration can be built up. So this is why sometimes forgiveness is a tricky subject, because sometimes people feel, well, I forgive, so therefore I should be restored to that person. Or I forgive, so I should trust that person completely. Or I forgive, I shouldn't be angry anymore. That's all false. So forgiveness is none of those things. So what is forgiveness? Well, that's a great answer, a great question. Here's my definition. I want to submit this to you. This is reading through a lot of stuff and trying to, and just even my own, I suppose, definition of life and having to walk through forgiveness and receive forgiveness. Forgiveness is to release my right, or your right, to hold an offense against someone. And in doing so, to release you from the power or control of the offense and the offender. So forgiveness is to release your right to hold an offense. So in other words, I'm saying, I don't have a right to hold this against you. I'm letting go. I'm not going to hold this, whatever it is, I'm not going to hold this against you anymore. I forgive you. And in doing so, ultimately what you're doing is you're releasing yourself from the offense or from the one who has offended you. I remember I preached on this a while ago, and I actually had offense. It's now, Linus, our caretaker, has used it because it was up in the storeroom. And so It's brilliant. I was going to use it again today. But basically what I'd done was, throughout the whole sermon, I carried around this fence. It was a small little fence. And I just carried it around. And this is what happens is when we get offended, what we do is we carry around with us a fence. And so as I'm carrying around this offense, what can happen is, say, for instance, Pastor Sean, my best friend here, say, for instance, Pastor Sean does something just really hurts me and betrays a trust and really just offends me. And I'm like, I can't believe he's done that. Because sometimes it's the closest people to us that can cause the deepest hurts, yeah? Sometimes the ones that we can trust the most can actually cause, because there's so openness and vulnerability, that they can cause the deepest scars and the deepest hurts. And so I'm driving home and I'm like, I can't believe he's done that. And someone just cuts in front of me and I start beeping on the horn and effing and blowing, I can't believe you cut in front of me. And they're getting all of the hurt. And then I go home and Judith and the kids and we're having dinner and stuff and Judith starts telling me about her day and I'm going like, you have no idea the day I've had. I don't want to hear about your day. I can't believe you. You haven't even asked me how my day is. And Judith's going, what's happened? Nothing's happened. Other than the offense that happened over here, and I'm carrying it around. And what happens is if I don't deal with that, if I don't forgive that, that fence or offense begins to grow and it begins to fester and it begins to impact all of my life. And I'm carrying, and this fence is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I'm wondering, why are people distant from me? Why does nobody want to hang out with Des anymore? Because I've all this hurt built up in me. Whenever anyone comes close to me, I'm like a porcupine. It's like, ooh, ouch. Shaney Mac, that was a sharp comment. That hurts. Why? When myself and Judah were helping with an organization called Teen Challenge, the phrase, the logo of Teen Challenge was, hurting people hurt people. Have you ever been around someone who's hurting? And what they do is they end up hurting everyone around them because they haven't dealt with the hurt. They haven't dealt with the offense. They haven't been able to forgive. And so therefore, all of this hurt and all of this is still within them. And here's what I believe Jesus is trying to teach the disciples with this analogy or this saying, you need to forgive 70 times seven, because I believe he's saying, if you can't learn to forgive, you'll never be truly free. If you can't learn to forgive, you will never move forward. If you can't learn to forgive, you will never grow spiritually or thrive in the call that God has on your life. If you can't learn to forgive, you will always be bound to that hurt, trapped by that trauma, or tied to your offender. If you can't learn to forgive, you will always suffer, being tormented by that person. That moment of hurt will live rent-free in your head forever and will constantly haunt you. If you can't learn to forgive, you just will not be free. But the Bible says that Jesus came to set us free. And so here's what, when we take offense and we're unforgiven, what it is, it's like drinking a poison, hoping the other person dies from it. So me not forgiving Sean for that offense, what I'm doing is I'm drinking a poison going, I hope you die from that. Because there's the caption for Sunday sermon for Instagram. This isn't recorded, this one, though. It's the first service. But you know what I mean? Like, I just couldn't look at his face and say, I should have picked someone else. But it's like just all of that rage. And I'm so annoyed. I'm so angry. I'm so offended. But I'm being affected. My relationship with my wife has been affected. My relationship with my kids has been affected. My relationship with my friends has been affected. The call of God on my life, the ministry God has given me, because I'm carrying around something Jesus said, you are not created to carry that. You need to give that to me because I can carry that burden. You can't, Des. It will trip you up. It will hold you back and it will keep you down. And this is why God wants to bring us into a whole new area of freedom. But there's good news, guys. And the good news is that Jesus wants to set us free. There's two questions I've been asked and I'm sure Pastor Sean has been asked a lot and a lot of people in pastoral ministry have been asked in regards to this about forgiveness. Because we're so aware, some of the conversations that we are privileged to have and that people have entrusted us with a confidentiality. Again, it's such a privileged position to be able to be in that, to walk someone through. But some of the questions that we get asked is, why should I forgive? Why should I forgive that hurt? And some of the stuff that people are carrying, the hurts that have happened to them, like, honestly, humanity can be so blessing and then also so perverse. And some of the stuff, and to be honest with you, I'm like, in my humanity, in my feelings, I'm going, I don't know, if you're sure, I think you should turn up at their door with a shovel, what they've done to you. Honestly, like, it's horrendous. But I know there's no freedom in that. And I know that you need to forgive them. And I don't want to diminish anyone's story in here by saying that. And so that's a question, a valid question. Why should I forgive? The other valid question I get asked a lot is, well, then when someone comes to the realization of, I know I need to forgive, I know I'm carrying this too long, is this how do I forgive? Like, how do I get rid of this? Do you mean, like, we're created, when we breathe in, take a deep breath, just as you're alive, you're still with me. We breathe out. And so we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out all of the excess, the bad air, the carbon dioxide, and it goes out. When we eat and we consume and we eat, we have a system that can expel all the badness. And the goodness remains in our bodies and is healthy and nourishes us and all the vitamins and all we need and stuff. But when we get offended, what do we do with it? We keep taking it in. That's what Matt, like, we just keep taking it in. We just keep, and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And this is what God, how do I get rid of this? How do I forgive? Well, let me answer these questions. This is a very practical sermon, by the way. I'm hoping it's inspiring, but I also just felt to bring some practicality, because it's everyone in this room, I believe, is struggling and will struggle with unforgiveness or how to forgive. Because every one of us, unless you have locked yourself away and you become a hermit and live in the mountains somewhere and don't see anyone. But even if you do that, you know what? You're going to offend yourself at some stage. It's just natural. And so we all need this. So the why. Why should I forgive? The first thing I know I should forgive is because Jesus has set me free. And he does not want me to walk in slavery anymore. The Bible says this, who the Son sets free, you will be free indeed. And so I know God wants me to walk in freedom and not wanting me to walk with the weight of unforgiveness or that offense around me. Galatians 5 says this, Paul, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. When you hold on to unforgiveness or bitterness, you are being enslaved by that person or that hurt or that memory. And so Paul is saying, don't let yourselves be enslaved anymore. Be free that Christ has set you free. Psalm 119 verse 45 says, this is what the psalmist says, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments, Lord. If you want to walk in freedom, devote yourself to God's commandments. Don't devote yourself to the news. Don't devote yourself to what the government say. Don't devote yourself to what man says. Devote yourselves to the commandments of God and you will walk in freedom, because the word of God is true. And this is what God says. If I forgive, I will be free. Who the Son sets free. And so that's the first reason why I should forgive. Because Jesus died on the cross, not for me to walk in bondage or in slavery anymore. The second reason is because I've been forgiven so much. When I look to all that I've done, when I look to all the people I've hurt, all the stuff that I've said, all of the arguments I've been involved in, when I look to when I know, do you ever be in a situation where you know you shouldn't do something, but yet you still do it? When I remember those moments and I still see the forgiveness of God, I still see the grace of God, I still see the love of God, I still see his mercies are new every morning. That's another why I should forgive, because I have been forgiven so much that it would be hypocrisy of me to stand here being forgiven of everything I've ever done and everything I ever will do, to then hold that against my brother and sister, or to hold their offense against me. And so this is the why, because I've been set free, and also because I've been forgiven so much. How do I do it though? There's how do you forgive? By forgiving someone 70 times 7, by the way. It's my emotions take time to catch up with my decision of forgiving the person. But here's what I do is I keep my eyes on Jesus. I take my eyes off of the offender and off of the offense. There has to come a moment, guys. There has to come a moment in your life when you take your eyes off of that thing. And here's how you know you haven't taken your eyes off of it. If that person walks into the room and automatically the atmosphere changes for you. You ever been in a room and you're having a laugh and you're with friends and then you see someone who's offended you come in and they could be the other side of the room and automatically you're looking for the exit. I don't want to be here. Not with him, not with her. I'm out. See us, making excuses, have something on. You know you're still there when you wake up in the morning and you're having your cornflakes and that is mulling over in your head and they're robbing you of the joy of having your cornflakes in peace. That's how you know that you can't even have a bowl of cornflakes in peace without that person or that hurt still in your head. And they're still there at lunchtime. I can't even have my chicken fillet roll in peace. And they're still there at dinner time. You know that they're still there. And so how do I do that? There has to come a moment when I take my eyes off them and put my eyes on Jesus. When I stop magnifying the hurt and I begin to magnify the Lord. When I change my song, look how hurt I am. Look what I've done. When I change my song, look how great you are. Look how worthy you are. Look how awesome you are. Look how lovely you are. Look how beautiful you are, Jesus. Look, when I magnify the Lord, the things of this world do become strangely dim. And then in that moment, that's how I'm able to forgive. Because I look to the cross. And when I look to the cross, I see all of the sin that I've done on the cross. I'm able to name them. I'm able to see it visually. And honestly, guys, if we were to play a video of Des Curtis, Pastor Des's life up here, very quickly, Pastor Des would probably not be Pastor Des in your eyes. If you were to see all of the things I've done, all of the stuff I've said, all of the people, and to be honest with you, if we were to play any one of our videos up there, we'd all run a mile, wouldn't we? But he removes it as far as the east is from the west. And so I see it, and it's on the cross, and it's covered by the blood, and it's no more. It's gone. It's like, it's gone. And so because of that, I look to Jesus and I'm able to forgive. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. What hinders you? Unforgiveness will hinder you. And the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for you. God has marked out a race for you and it is not defined by the hurt of someone else. It's not defined by the offense of someone else. It's defined by Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So throw off that and run the race that he's marked out for you. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not on the hurt, not on the hurt, on the offender, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. For the joy that was set before him, you are the joy that was set before him, by the way. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How do you not grow weary from forgiving 70 times 7? You consider Jesus. You fix your eyes on Jesus. If you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to grow weary. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, you won't grow weary. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. It's written as the word of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And you will run the race marked out for you. Take your eyes off Jesus and you will not run the race. You will trip up and you will be bound by that offense and that hurt all the time. I love this quote. I can't remember who said it. I owed the debt I could not pay and he paid the debt that I did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing, as Emma opened up, a brand new song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Christ Jesus paid the debt I could never pay. He paid the debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul. He set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never, ever pay. And because of that, that's how we can ascend in forgiveness. But here's the reality, guys. And here's where it's tricky. Because I know there's hurts in people's lives here that go deep. And there's hurts in people's lives that are caused by the ones who should actually be the ones that care for you the most. And I said I'm going to share a testimony. I've shared this previously before. So forgive me if you've heard this part of my testimony, but I just feel it really ties in with what I wanted to communicate today. I was preaching this message about 10 years ago on this pulpit about forgiveness. And four rows from the front, where this gentleman is down here, four rows was sitting my dad. And I hadn't seen him in about 15 years. My dad was an alcoholic, a gambler. He used to be violent towards my mom. There was always fights at home, particularly when drink and gambling and lack of money was involved. We never had any Delph. Plates were smashed against the wall all the time. He was just a very self-centered and selfish man. He didn't consider his wife or his children much. He was all about him and about his mates and about his life and his needs. And so this created just chaos at home. And so I'm seeing my dad here. And as I'm preaching the message, I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation with someone and you can have this inner dialogue at the same time. So I'm preaching the message and I'm having this conversation and I'm just seeing my dad and I'm going like, this is amazing. He's going to hear the gospel. He's going to hear how Jesus has changed my life. And this is going to be just a beautiful moment of a coming to the Lord moment. And so after the sermon, I walked down and I just said, would you like a cup of coffee? The teas and refreshments and stuff. And I said, a cup of coffee or a cup of tea? And he says, yeah, I'll have a cup of tea. And so I went down and got a cup of tea. And as I was getting, you're just sort of preparing yourself and getting yourself ready. I didn't know what to expect. And I was coming up and stuff. And I handed him the cup of tea. And before I could say anything, I had a little opening to try and just break the ice and stuff. But before I could say anything, he just went, do you see all that you're talking about up there? Do you ever hear someone's tone? You just know their tone, nothing's changed. And it was the tone that I heard. And I said, what do you mean? He says, all that stuff about forgiveness. And I said, what about forgiveness? He says, I don't need forgiveness. I've done nothing wrong. I'm the one that's been hurt. I'm the one that's been robbed. I don't need your forgiveness. I don't need anyone's forgiveness. I'm not messing. I'm sitting down here. I just preached on forgiveness. And I felt my fist close. I'm not messing. I physically closed my fist. And I was conscious of my fist closed because I was tightly gripped. I mean, it was like a proper. And I was going to bounce off him. Because 101 memories literally came back when he said that I don't need your forgiveness. All of these memories of all of the fights and one vivid memory came back that was so vivid I could nearly place myself in a fight had broke out. I can't even remember what it was about, but a fight broke out in the kitchen and my mom just ran upstairs with myself and I think my younger brother and sister and we just ran into the bedroom just to get a bit of peace. But he came up after us and he had a cup of hot tea and stuff and as he opened the door, he flung the tea at her. And the cup smashed against the wall. And I just remember like hot liquid coming down on my face. I was about 5 or 6 years of age. And I remember that. And I'm sitting here and he's going, I don't need your forgiveness. I'm going, I know what you need. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Do you remember every one of us? Every one of us has a testimony. And you know what the testimony always has in it? But God. Isn't it? But God. I was doing this, but God. God stopped me. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Des, you've forgiven him. Now forgive him. And he said, I had forgiven him because I'd been in services like this. And I'd heard the gospel and I'd heard the message about forgiveness. And if there's anyone in your life that you need to forgive, my dad was someone that was, I know I need to forgive him. And so I'd come forward at altar calls and I'd go, Lord, I forgive him. You see, it's easy to forgive someone when they're far away, isn't it? It's easy to forgive them. They're not in your life. But the ones that are still in your life or the ones that are close to you, that's hard to forgive. Particularly if they don't want your forgiveness or they don't even see that they've done anything wrong. And so I just felt saying, Dad, I just need you to know this. And it was weird because I can't remember using that phrase, Dad. It's like, Dad, I want you to know I forgive you for your part in the breakup of our family. I don't hold anything against you. I really don't hold anything against you. I don't want any ill will. I don't hold anything against you. And everything I said about Jesus is all true. And I shared the gospel with him again. And we had a chat. And then we tried to build up a relationship. I remember meeting him. And this is why I said forgiveness does not necessarily lead to restoration. I met up with him and we exchanged phone numbers because I wanted to restore. I wanted the relationship restored because I felt that's what God wanted. And so I met up with him for a few times. And the third time we met up, we were in Dunphy's pub in Dunleary. I remember, and I had my two kids, Jack and Keeve, were about 3 and 2. And he just was going on about the past. And he started cursing and he started calling my mom names and start like, do you mean just effing and blinding in front of him? And I just looked down at my son, Jack. And I just went, no. I was brought up in this environment. They're not being brought up in this environment. And I just went, Dad, this is ending. I want to meet with you, but it has to be future focused. I'm not meeting with you again if it's not about the past. And we never met again. Now, I've gone to visit him in hospital. He's sick and I've prayed with him and he's given his life to Jesus, which is the greatest gift ever. And I've blessed him. I've prayed with him. I don't hold anything against him because of the power of forgiveness. I didn't even realize that I was still holding all of that stuff because it was so buried that when he said it to me, and here's the great thing, the amazing thing about forgiveness, you don't need someone else's permission to forgive. You don't need them to say, oh, will you forgive me? Or you don't need them to say, you just need to give it. If you know that you need to forgive someone, you just need to forgive them. Because what you're doing, if you don't, is you are enslaving yourself to that person or to that hurt or to that trauma. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and help me close out. And apologies, we've just gone a couple of minutes over, but I just wanted to give us a moment to just respond to this. Because I don't want any of us leaving here with still holding on to stuff. And here's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. He's the one who speaks to your heart. And here's what I want to say to you. If there's stuff in your life, and you might be like, Pastor Des, you have no idea what I was doing last night. It took everything in me to get to be here. And I actually feel like a fraud being amongst all the holy people. Because the place I was in, the stuff I was doing. Can I just say you're not a fraud? Can I say there's been times I've come to church as a pastor and felt like a fraud because I've had a massive row with Judith or I've said stuff, harsh words to my children. But here's what I love. His mercies are new every morning. And I'm able to step into them. And if I'm able to step into them, you're able to step into them. So you're not a fraud. The fact that you're here is powerful. And if you're carrying stuff, I just want you to take this moment as the guys are singing this song to repent. Jesus, I'm sorry. I've done that which I know was wrong. I've said that. I've been in place of, Lord, I want to come back to you because I want to find myself again. When you find yourself is actually when you're with Jesus. He's the only one that will make sense of your life. He's the only one that will make sense of where you're at and what's going on. The clubs, the pubs, the drugs, the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll, all of that stuff. None of it will make sense for you except Jesus. Because he's the one who created you. He's the one who formed you. And he's the one who will complete you. No one else will complete you. It's not that romantic person, that other half. He's the one who will complete you. And if you're in that place and you just need to come to him, during the guy's worshiping, I just want you to literally come to Jesus. Maybe you're here, and this is the second part of this call, is maybe you're here and you know there's hurt and you're carrying it. I would love for you to lay that baggage down this morning and to bring it to the foot of the cross. And how you do it is, and it might be simple, it might be just like, your prayer might be simply like this, Lord, help me forgive. I don't know how to do it. And if it's even that, Lord, help me to forgive, then that's a great place to start. That is an amazing place to start because your feelings mightn't be with you on it, but just, Lord, help me to forgive that person and begin to forgive them. Begin to let them go and begin to let you go from the hurt that they've caused. Psalm 145, let's stand. Let me read out some verses from Psalm 145 because this will help us in this call. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger, and he is rich in love. The Lord is good to all. That includes you. The Lord is good to you. He has compassion on you. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord is trustworthy. Someone close to you may have broken trust. But don't allow that offense to impact your relationship with your Father in heaven. The Lord is trustworthy in all of his promises, and he is faithful in all he does. He upholds all who fall down, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. He is righteous in all his ways, and he is faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call upon his name. As we're worshiping the Lord in this last song, I just want to encourage you to call upon his name and to receive the freedom that he has for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.